hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
This is the Air Raid podcast presented by Diva the Matadors. You're hearing the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and one just is not enough. In planning our weekly preview, we decided that although everything we're saying is absolutely invaluable, who better to talk about our upcoming opponents than the very people that cover them daily? Look, so this interview is going to open up a little weird. When we originally recorded it, we thought it was going to fit right after the Big 12 pick'em in the pod, but our guest was exemplary and had plenty of sweet knowledge about the Arizona Wildcats. And we talked a lot more than I thought we would. So naturally, we had to give him his own space. So going forward, we're planning on having more interviews with more people considered authorities on the teams that they cover, to give you guys, our listeners, better content with a wider perspective. So be on the lookout for not only our current in-depth analysis and keys to the game each week, but an additional interview pod as well. Why am I still talking? Here's our interview with Adam. And we are not alone with predictions for the game. Here to offer more insight on the Arizona matchup and give us his exclusive game prediction is Adam Green, voice of Wildcat Radio. Adam, thanks so much for being on the Air Raid podcast. We're just a few days away from offensive mayhem. How are you doing?
Good. I think probably like you guys, excited for this game because we all look at it as a chance to kind of see what these teams are. You know, after the first 2 weeks, I know Arizona's 1-1 with a tough loss in Hawaii. But for you guys, I'm sure plenty of excitement to see against a Pac-12 team what Texas Tech can do. So a big matchup for the non-conference slate for these two teams.
Absolutely. I remember talking with you that this is kind of the matchup that Texas Tech has circled on our schedule as what's going to be the litmus test going forward. So let's really just jump into it. Like you mentioned, Arizona's had an interesting bounce in their schedule thus far, having played a reputable team in Hawaii and then playing Northern Arizona, which is unfamiliar to most. What have you inferred about those games? You said 1-1. I know you can garner as much in wins as you can losses. What do they tell us about how Arizona will plan for Texas Tech?
Well, it looks like for Arizona, it's kind of the same as they have been the last few years, where offensively it's all based on the running game. And they got a stable of running backs. You think Khalil Tate and his ability to run, and he had that against Hawaii. He didn't run the ball much against NAU last week in Arizona's win, but J.J. Taylor, Gary Brightwell, Bam Smith, Nathan Tilford, just there's so many backs where Arizona, that's their offense. That's what they're based on. There's a reason why they've led the Pac-12 in rushing the last three seasons, because they know how to do that. And when, of course, they're running, like most teams, of course, but when they get the running game going, the passing game opens up for Khalil Tate to find a bunch of these younger receivers. But offensively, Arizona's as good or as lethal as they have been the last few years. Defensively, at least through the two games, it looks they're as bad as we've seen the last few years too. So it certainly seems like they're that type of team where they're going to be tough to put away in any game, because even Hawaii, they were down quite a bit in that game and they rallied back to tie it a couple of times and were a red zone interception away from taking the lead late in the fourth quarter. So they're tough to put away, but they're also not necessarily good enough defensively to put a good team away, which we saw against NAU, where it wasn't really close, but you give up 28 points in the second half against a not good team, an FCS school in NAU. It doesn't exactly look good for you either.
Yeah, and I want to focus a little bit on the offense here to start, just because that's easy and it's most fun. So you mentioned, Adam, the rushing game. I can't help but notice that there is a surprisingly deep roster at the running back position. Would you have the ability just to expand on what the running game means to Arizona? And can you give us some kind of indication of who's the lead guy right now outside of Khalil Tate?
Definitely. It's the lead guy is J.J. Taylor, the redshirt junior. He was an all-Pac-12 guy last season. He was one of the best all-purpose guys in the country. Just he was a return guy for Arizona, too. But he's their, I would say, bell cow. He's their number one running back. But he's a smaller guy, smaller, fast guy. Can handle the beating, but they kind of want to rely on other guys too. And when you have the stable that they have, there's no reason that you need to give J.J. Taylor 25, 30 touches a game. They did that some last season. He didn't wear down, but it's not fair to him, especially Gary Brightwell, another guy. He had a long run, a 94-yard touchdown against NAU, where he's a bigger running back, but he's deceptively fast, a long strider, and he's very capable out of the backfield. If you look at the stats, of course, 141 yards on five carries. It doesn't look like it's very efficient, but he doesn't seem like a guy who's gotten a ton of carries. But that's because, in part, they didn't run the ball that much against Hawaii, or at least not as much as people wanted them to. But yeah, Gary Brightwell is the number two running back. You got Bam Smith, who's in kind of third. Wiley, a true freshman, who's gotten 12 carries. Nathan Tilford, who was a four-star recruit coming out of high school, just a big running back. So I'd say Wiley is a good pass-catching back, as is Taylor. Brightwell is just a good all-purpose back. Tilford is the goal line short yardage back. He's just a big guy with that kind of running style. But it's just absolutely a very deep group of running backs where if everything goes according to plan for Arizona, you're going to see every one of these guys get some touches on Saturday. But they were able to do that against NAU because they were up big. They weren't quite able to do that against Hawaii. So Arizona will definitely lean on these guys, but you'll see Taylor first and then other guys in their roles depending on how the game flow goes.
So really, if everything goes well for Texas Tech, then maybe we'll only see one or two of those running backs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, of course, Arizona, too, this is the beauty of their offense, is where the second you focus on the running backs on those option plays, Tate pulls it back and gets the edge. And that's what makes him so dangerous, is that Khalil Tate, we all remember him 2 years ago when he burst onto the scene and was arguably the best player in college football based on his running ability. Last year, he sprained his ankle badly in week two against Houston and was never quite the same. He ran for over 100 yards against Hawaii in week one. Of course, everyone, I think, saw that he came a yard short on his final run, the desperation run, on the last play of the game, and he really didn't run the ball against NAU because he didn't have to. But the second you sell out to stop J.J. Taylor, you stop Gary Brightwell, Tate has an ability to pull the ball back and get that edge, and everyone knows what kind of speed he has, what kind of danger he can be with the ball in his hands when he's running. So that's if Arizona's offense is running on all cylinders, that's what happens. The running game does that. It opens up Khalil Tate to get that edge. It opens up single coverage for the receivers down the field, and Tate likes to throw the deep ball. So that's if everything goes according to plan. Yes, of course, if Arizona gets down early in this game and they have to abandon the running game, or Texas Tech is able to bottle up the running game, at least to an extent, then it changes the entire game plan. Arizona's not quite the same offensive team as they'd like to be.
So a good way to kind of assess this, at least for Texas Tech fans, is immediately we're going to be looking to stop the run. That's something that Red Raiders have heard since Well stepped onto our scene, is that, you know, you can't win in November if you're not stopping the run and you're not running the ball well. So say we do end up stuffing Arizona's run game, then it's going to be a crime for me not to talk about Khalil Tate, at least a crime in Tucson. This is a guy, like you mentioned, at 2017, very rush heavy season. It's kind of the season that he was considered, you know, one of, if not the best quarterback in the nation. And he actually follows that up with, not a lot of people understand, a very effective pass 28 or pass heavy 2018 season. So he's somebody that, at least in individual seasons, has built up various parts of his game. And if all goes well, you assume this 2019 season will be a collective of that. Now, I'd love to point out, and you probably know it now, Khalil Tate's in good company, in that he's one of two quarterbacks right now with over 1,500 career rushing yards and over 4,000 career passing yards. And just fun trivia, do you know the other quarterback with those stats right now?
Off the top of my head, I don't.
Be Jalen Hurts.
That makes sense.
Does it? I just don't remember Jalen passing that much. But certainly this is a, and I would effectively put him up there with the talent level. This is just an effectively a good quarterback. So like you said, if we do stop the run, Khalil Tate becomes that X factor. Now, let me play devil's advocate and say that Texas Tech stops Khalil Tate, at least for rushing. I can't help but notice again that the wide receiver position, especially in this Northern Arizona game, and like we said, this is a game that you're able to kind of empty the roster. But you have a lot of people that seem to be getting the ball. Is there, could you just tell us a little bit more about that situation? Is there anybody that stands out for Arizona as kind of the guy going into the season?
Not yet. And that's kind of one of the things going into this season. They lost their top four guys from last season. Graduated a couple of guys. Sean Poindexter was an undrafted free agent with the 49ers, hurt his knee, but everyone that they relied on last season was gone. So what you had instead was this group of players who all throughout camp were getting rave reviews, a couple former quarterbacks. Jamari Joyner was a quarterback last season. He transitioned to receiver in camp this year. He just went to the coaches and said, hey, I want to play. I'll do whatever it takes to get on the field. Put him at receiver. There was room. But you have Tavian Cunningham, who's a JUCO guy this season. He was one of their latest additions to the team, but he's a speed guy. He's so fast. He caught a couple of deep balls against NAU. That's what they turned to him for because he's just that type of player. Then you have Stanley Berryhill, who played a little bit last season, made some plays. He's a shorter receiver, but another speed guy. Joyner, who I mentioned, might be one of the most physically gifted players they have at receiver, but he's still so new to the position. But he's big, he's fast, he's strong. Brian Castile, a lot was expected of him. Drew Dixon, a former quarterback. So, like you mentioned, that it's just like, who's the number one guy? Who's the one they lean on? They don't have that quite yet. And I guess in a perfect world, you don't need to have that guy. Where if you have the running game working, then these receivers get single coverage, someone's going to win their matchup if you have enough time in the pocket. So they have talent here, but the idea of who's the number one guy, who's the one you have to most be aware of or concerned of, it's hard to say that. And I'm not even trying to make that a cop-out here, but just two games in, pretty much every player on that roster, every receiver they have, is in a role they didn't have last season. So it's kind of these first few games, these first couple of games, are, well, who steps up? Well, the first game, Jamari Joyner was really good. The last game, Cunningham was really good. Berryhill's been consistent in both games. So I guess the idea is they have multiple options. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot of talent in that receiver room, in that receiver group, but there's not any one guy you can say, okay, you can rely on him every single game to step up and be Khalil Tate's favorite target or be someone who's going to be his security blanket. They don't have that, but there are certainly plenty of options with all differing sizes, speeds, skill sets. But so far, through two games, their passing game has been pretty good because, for the most part, these guys have gotten open and they've caught the ball when they've had the chance to do so.
Right, and this idea or this reality of having multiple talents without any true star, this is not something unfamiliar to Texas Tech fans, so don't feel like it's a cop-out. We are in a similar situation. We do have TJ Vasher, 6'6", offering kind of like the best all-around available receiver, but with a defense or with a conference like ours that is predicated on really honing in on pass defense, we have to have the opportunity to have multiple receivers, so this is not a foreign concept to Red Raider fans at all. And I'm assuming that this Arizona game will put more pressure on Sumlin to figure out which of his guys is going to be the guy going forward. So I guess we'll see.
Well, that's what it is. Like, you see who emerges. And if someone, I guess the most likely candidate would be Joyner just by talent alone. But again, it's his first season as a receiver, but he's got the physical ability and he picked it up real quick. Being a former quarterback, he kind of understands what receivers are trying to do, what they need to be doing. So you just got to fine-tune what he has there. But they have the speed guys. Cunningham is really fast. He's someone on a deep ball I'd be wary of. And Berryhill is someone that Tate has a lot of comfort with. But absolutely, I think for Arizona, these first few games and even probably into the season, they're still going to be deciding who are those players. And in theory, someone will step up. So the cream will rise to the top, right? That's what happens. But so far, two games, we don't quite know who that is.
Absolutely. And nobody is doubting Arizona is going to come out hot, at least scoring 21. I mean, Dylan and I have them at 27. There's no way that we're stopping Khalil Tate in an offense so predicated on talent in a number of positions. So let's talk about what the key of the game is. My key of the game, and certainly what we have switched to, what Coach Sumlin agreed will be the premium of this game, is defense. Arizona, Adam, like you mentioned before, didn't have a spectacular defensive game against Hawaii nor Northern Arizona. Giving up over 1,000 yards in two games outside of conference play usually doesn't spell out good news looking forward. How do you see, as somebody on the inside, the defense right now for Arizona? Who are the key players that really need to step up before you guys enter a gauntlet of Pac-12 play?
I was going to say, but 1,000-yard total, to be fair, nearly 600 of them came against Hawaii. So, you know, if you look at it that way, maybe they weren't so bad against it. Their defense, and this has been a problem really since Rich Rodriguez took over. There was the 1 year, 2014, where Arizona won the Pac-12 South, and their defense was Scooby Wright. It wasn't great, but it was respectable, and it made plays. And what's funny about this defense is they're leading the nation with 6 interceptions so far this season. Jace Whitaker has been great. He leads the country in interceptions with a few. So there's been guys who have played well, but as a defense, it's been rough. And the hope for them is, like, there's talent. There's good linebackers, Colin Schooler, Tony Fields. They're playmaking style linebackers. Harris, the defensive lineman, everyone's expecting him to have a big season. He's got a couple of sacks, a sack and a half this season, but he hasn't made quite the impact that you wanted. And the secondary has some good players. Jace Whitaker, who missed pretty much all of last season, he's a veteran, an upperclassman. He leads the nation in interceptions right now. You have Chris Roland Wallace, a true freshman who's athletic. Bobby Wolf, another freshman that they're really high on. Lorenzo Burns is experienced. So there's players there, but just hasn't come together yet. And you don't get the feeling that this is the game where they're going to just kind of all of a sudden show up and be the Desert Swarm type defense. It doesn't figure to be that. But of course, if you're Arizona's defense right now, you're looking at this game as a chance to kind of like, hey, look, this is a really good offense coming in. Watch what we can do when we play at a high level. But I wouldn't expect that to happen because there's nothing that's happened in the first two games of the season that would make you think Arizona has figured out defensively. And that's the real shame of this Arizona team is that as great as their offense is, the defense looks like it's maybe equally bad. Right now they're one of the worst, if not the worst defense in the entire country statistically. But the kind of hope is that your offense is – Arizona may need to score 55 to win the game, but you think that they can do it. But no, I'm not looking at this defense as anything that's going to really put up too big of a fight against Texas Tech. But that's where it's also on Texas Tech to not turn the ball over, not drop passes, not commit bad penalties that put them – behind on downs, because that's how this game kind of figures to go with two really good offenses. Who's going to kind of blink first? If it's not a defense making the play, it's your offense kind of tripping up, and all of a sudden now you wasted a possession where the other team can go down and score. But there are some good players on this defense who just have yet to put it together as an entire defense and play well and really stop anybody.
Yeah, Adam, you're giving me a PTSD because you're really just speaking the language of Texas Tech defense for the past I don't know how many years. It's all, yeah, you know, we have pieces, but it's not going to come together. I just don't see him stopping anybody. And so again,
occasionally
not,
it happens.
That occasionally it does, and that gives you hope, and you're like, yes, it's possible. And then garbage.
Well, that's the thing. Arizona gave up 595 yards of offense to Hawaii, and that's after getting six turnovers in that game. Right. Like, Arizona got six turnovers a game and found a way to lose because they gave up nearly 600 yards of offense, and that was week zero against a good offense on the road. But it just speaks to the idea that they made plays in that game. Defense, you'd think six turnovers is enough to win any football game, especially if you're plus four in turnovers like they were in that game. But because Hawaii was able to otherwise move up and down the field, they punted one time and it was in the fourth quarter late before Arizona's miracle rally that almost tied it or possibly would have won it on a two-point conversion. That's how bad the defense was. And NAU last week, not exactly a formidable foe, who still scored 28 points in the second half. To Arizona's credit, they gave up only 13 in the first half when the starters were in. So the 41 points, a lot of the yardage came in a lot of garbage time. There was 30-plus minutes of garbage time in that game. But until anyone sees Arizona have a respectable defensive performance against a decent football team or possibly a good football team like Texas Tech, you can't bank on them stopping anybody.
Yeah, again, preaching to the choir at this point. All right, so Adam, fun question here. If you are tasked to game plan against Arizona's defense, how would you go about that? What would be your primary means of attack to beat this defense most effectively?
Honestly, I think it's not shooting yourself in the foot, because there's not one area. There's not really one obvious weakness in Arizona's defense other than Arizona's defense. And I say that with the they don't really
get the tenderest of comments.
Yeah, like there hasn't been a great pass rush. The linebackers are pretty good, but they're not getting to the quarterback. They're just solid linebackers. Colin Schooler is one of the best linebackers, I think, in the country, but he can only do so much. The secondary is okay. Like, it's pretty good. It can make some plays, but there's not any one specific weakness. It's, to me, again, Hawaii kept Arizona in the game by turning the ball over six times, and I would say, if not all of them, four or five of them were not really forced turnovers. Just dumb throws into coverage or fumbles that weren't exactly huge hits that someone coughed it up. It was just making mistakes. So if I'm Texas Tech, I know that you guys have an outstanding offense, but it's don't turn the ball over and don't commit silly penalties that give yourself third and 15, 16, 17, which, again, last season Arizona was actually really bad on those situations defensively. They gave up so many first downs on third and long. But to me, that's kind of how I see this game for Texas Tech, because their offense is really good. Arizona's defense can be good at times, but there's no way you say this is the strength, avoid that, or this is the weakness, attack that. Their defense just as a whole hasn't been good enough for me to even give you a this is how I would attack them, other than just play your game. Get the receivers, spray it out, and wait for Arizona to make a mistake or wait to find guys open. That's what happens. Without the pass rush, Arizona's going to get picked apart in this game. I would expect that to be the case no matter how much I believe in Arizona's cornerbacks being decent. And there's some talent in the secondary. if you give a quarterback all day to throw, someone's going to be open. So for Texas Tech's sake, it's just taking advantage of those opportunities and not coughing the ball up or doing anything silly when it comes to penalties.
Well, that's a simple game plan I think everybody can get behind. Yost, I hope you're paying attention. Adam's giving you the keys to the game right now. It's don't shoot yourself in the foot. And thus far, you do you, buddy. Penalty-wise, I think we're doing okay as well. So let's hit the flip side of that. Now you're tasked defensive coordinator. You are Patterson. You are Keith Patterson. And your job this week is to stop Khalil Tate and this Arizona offense, which has been spectacular in a number of facets. How do you do it?
That's a much tougher call because it starts with the running game. If you let Arizona, well, the big thing, actually, I'll say this, is get off to a fast start. If you can get up 14 points, 17 points in the first half, it takes away what Arizona likes to do largely, and that's run the football. Whereas if you let Arizona get going with their running game, whichever running back it is, you're going to have trouble because it opens up the entire offense. And, of course, if you're running the ball, you're not putting the ball in danger as much with interceptions or zero interceptions when you're running the ball. But that's the first thing you want to do. But then the danger is if you sell out to stop the run, if your defensive ends or your linebackers dive in on the middle run, then Tate could burn you on the outside, or he could find single coverage and get take off the top of the defense. So it's a lot easier said than done with Arizona's offense because when they are clicking, they have weapons all over the field. So it's just playing the whack-a-mole game. You stop the running game, and then you stop J.J. Taylor. When I have to worry about Tate pulling the ball and running. If you stop that, then you got to worry about the single coverage that you're leaving guys in. So I wouldn't say there's necessarily a game plan other than stopping the run to start, but that doesn't mean you're going to shut Arizona down. It just means that you're going to put the ball in Khalil Tate's hands, and if you can make him throw the ball more than run the ball, then you have chances because he does like to take risks every now and then. He will make bad reads here and there. He will make some occasionally bad throws. At the same time, he makes some amazing throws that most quarterbacks can't make with his just superior arm talent. But you want that ball in the air is basically what it comes down to. And not to say Khalil Tate can't beat you with his arm because he is very capable. Last season, he wasn't really running the ball yet. He was still effective, as you noted, because he improved as a passer. And the hope was he would be even better this season with another year in this offense as a senior. But that's still the best way to slow Arizona's offense down. Similar to what I was saying with Texas Tech, force turnovers and take advantage of penalties. Do things like that because Arizona's offense does have so many weapons where in some ways you're relying on them to make mistakes more than you stopping them because I don't know what you can stop. You can't stop everything. I don't think you guys have Alabama's defense or one of those groups
out
there.
Absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not.
If you can get a pass rush, that helps. But first off, just find a way to stop the run and don't get burned by a long Khalil Tate run either. Like you have to respect his legs on those read options in the middle of the field. So to me, there's ways to slow them down, but there's fewer ways to stop them. But it doesn't mean that you can't. If you stop them three or four drives where they don't score, that could be enough in a game like this. And that's what I think it will come down to. But slow down the run, force a turnover or two, and that's how you beat Arizona.
Right. So the counter narrative of this game that nobody wants to talk about is that defense is going to be what makes or breaks the victor of this game. And I love to ask it, Adam, and you're in a safe space here. You're in a safe space. Remember that. What's your game prediction? What's your idea about this game? What are you feeling?
On the show that we had you on, Ronnie and I were talking about predictions, and Ronnie predicted a Texas Tech win in this game. So I'll sell him out there. He thinks that you guys are going to come out on top of this one. And for me, I just went back to the idea that I know what Arizona is, I think, and that's a great offensive team with some talent on defense that hasn't put together but can score on anybody. I'm not sure what Texas Tech is, at least defensively, if you guys have enough. I know that to start, the first two games have been unreal, but the competition was a little bit lesser than what they're going to be facing on Saturday in Tucson. And if this game was anywhere other than Tucson, I would pick Texas Tech. But I do have Arizona winning this game because I know what I have. I know what the Wildcats are. And like we were talking about, I'm writing an article actually for AZ Desert Swarm, and I have a note in there that it's almost like looking in a mirror. These two programs, I feel like, just similar styles offensively, similar lots in their conferences. You know, this is that type of game where it's like the Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. It's like, yeah, that's what it is. But if this game being in Tucson, Arizona, knowing that it's a big turning point season for them, then they've played teams. I don't know if Hawaii is on Texas Tech's level, but they've had a little bit stiffer competition up to this point. They've dealt with some adversity and found a way to battle back. And that's what I'm going to trust going into this game. But so I think I had 52-42 Arizona. but it's the type of game where if someone punts or someone doesn't come away with points on more than three drives, four drives, that's going to be their undoing. Because I just don't see either team coming up with a ton of stops, but the team that turns the ball over, the team that has a bad penalty, whatever that is, misses a field goal, whatever it is, that's the team that's going to be in trouble, because this is the type of game, it's almost like an Arena Football League game where when you have the ball, you need to score, because if you don't, the other team's going to.
And I think that's a fair assessment. It's all going to come down to defense, people. It's who doesn't score on all their drives. And I think three is a good roundabout guesstimation of, like, if you don't make it on three drives, you're probably going to be the one down in the hole. Which does mean a lot of points.
Arizona can move pretty fast. Like, these teams can score real quickly, and that's why it's going to be a high scoring game. It certainly looks that way. I think Vegas has it in the 70s.
Oh yeah.
Which seems kind of low, actually. Yeah. But it's also hard to predict 90 points between two teams. I understand that, but
sure, it certainly but has that feeling. We haven't seen it before.
Right. So if any game is going to be that, I think it's this one. I know you guys are probably more confident in Texas Tech's defense than I am, but I also haven't watched them. I haven't game plan or anything like that. That's but right. Just knowing the step up in competition, they'll be ready for Texas Tech. I'm sure they're not saying, oh, you know, we shut down those guys, we're going to handle Arizona no problem. But it is going to be a different game speed. It is going to be a different animal that they're facing on Saturday. And that, I don't know if that'll surprise them at first, if Arizona might steal a couple of early points where just they're a little bit faster or something's a little bit off, and then Texas Tech rebounds. But, yeah, if any defense gets a turnover or two or gets a stop or two, I don't know which one it'll be. I guess I think it's going to be Arizona, but it'll be something to be celebrated when you don't give up points in a drive on Saturday.
Makes sense to me, man. Man, we really appreciate you coming on, giving us a lot of insight from the Arizona side. I have one parting question. We've been talking about safety Tristan Cooper a little bit today, and he had a wonderful quote that I would just love to get your opinion on. He said, "The same people talking mess today will be on our bandwagon after we beat Texas Tech." Do you like the swagger here, or is it a bit premature given the previous results?
I think this is more an issue of context and him maybe misspeaking. He was defending the defensive coordinator, Marcel Yates, who's been under fire from media, from fans, from everybody, which you've seen what's happened with Arizona's defense. It's understandable why people might think the fourth-year coordinator should be on the hot seat. So he was defending his coach, who the players like Marcel Yates. They're big fans of his. So he's saying, all he was trying to say is, yeah, we go out there and win this game, then you're not going to have any problem with us. But he said, when we beat, I don't think he meant to say that, but you know what? You should have that swagger, right? It's you're 1-1. Your season's not lost. If you believe in yourself, go out and say that. I don't imagine either of these teams needs bulletin board material to come out fired up on Saturday. But if it takes Arizona having that swagger to go out there and have that confidence and feel like they can do this, then I'm fine with that.
Absolutely. I'm behind you 100%. Let it swing, guys. This is your job. Go out there. Have fun. Adam Green, thank you so much again for coming on. Remember, this is Adam Green of Wildcat Radio, also a contributor at AZ Desert Swarm. Adam, where can people find you and your material online?
You'll find the podcast on Wildcat Radio, and I write for AZ Desert Swarm. That's the SB Nation blog for the Arizona Wildcats. And if you want to see my random musings on pretty much everything, at the Adam Green on Twitter.